For episode 3 of True Detective Night Country from HBO, the mystery is brewing and distilling, and episode 3 had an ending as well, a doozy. Let's talk about it, but first. Let us begin. Cheers, everybody. Welcome to Brewstilled. I'm your host, Brandon, and for this episode of Brewstilled, I'll be recapping HBO's True Detective Night Country, Episode 3. We are now halfway through Season 4, with the mystery brewing and distilling, with revelations coming to light, suspicious people coming out, and also secrets probably starting to unravel. So I'll be recapping here at Brewstilled. First, though, what beer am I pairing for this episode of Brewstilled and for HBO's True Detective Night Country? Well, that beer comes to us from Oregon, and that beer is called Ale Song, Stone Fruit Sonata. Aged in French oak barrels, Ale Song Stone Fruit Sonata, brewed by Ale Song Brewing and Blending, is a unique barrel-aged sour beer that contains a sweet and heavy nectarine essence with every sip, with bold fruit balances and a refreshing acidity, with a subtle oak and earthy notes rounding out every unique tasting experience for an ABV of 7%. For the flavor, really has a nice barrel-aged taste to it. It's nice and sweet, and also great sour ale as well with a nice barrel-aged influence, making for a perfect beer for True Detective, as True Detective, in my view, is indeed a barrel-aged mystery, and its beer, Stone Fruit Sonata, comes in a bottle, the way every barrel-aged beer should come in. So that there's a beer pairing for the Sceptre de Brasild and for True Detective Night Country from HBO. So let's recap True Detective Night Country from HBO. If you've not seen the show, and you want to watch the show, do not proceed forward, because there will be spoilers. Ready? Well, here we go. For HBO's Season 4 of True Detective Night Country, Episode 3 opens up 7 years prior to the events of the Annie Kay case that we're seeing right now in Season 4. For the opening, Navarro arrives to a house to arrest Annie Kay for public damage to the silver mining facility. Yet, as Navarro does arrive, Annie Kay does not surrender right away, as she's also working to assist women giving birth, as she also operates a birthing facility, the last of its kind in the region of Alaska they're currently in. Despite being there to arrest Annie Kay, Navarro does permit Annie to continue her activities at the birthing facility, and doesn't arrest her right away. Annie Kay does help pregnant women giving birth at a place that is not normally found in remote Alaska, and Navarro does assist in the process along the way. This whole experience does move Navarro, who decides not to arrest Annie Kay, even though Annie Kay is willing to go to jail after the birth does take place. This scene is significant because it does show how Navarro became emotionally invested in this case, as she did have a prior connection with Annie Kay, and also had a very deep connection with that case as well, as she worked on it with Danvers. This is a very significant storyline development, as you now know more about the history between Navarro and Annie Kay. The episode then shifts back to the present day, right at the site where the bodies of the missing scientists were found. Through an act of defiance, Hank does gather local hunters, who resemble a local militia, to help in the search for Clark, the missing scientist, who is also believed to still be alive. Despite Navarro's hope to take Clark alive, and also protesting this, Hank proceeds with his rogue search. Now, what I saw in the scene, it shows Hank continues to defy Danvers, even going as far to enlist outside help in a rogue search for Clark that's also unauthorized. One of them also drops an orange, and it gets Navarro's attention, and she grabs it. We see darkness all around them, as in the 5 days of night, with the void of mystery all around them, and darkness, as also does have an effect on Navarro. Back at the Enos police station, Danvers is informed by Pete that Anders Lund, who is also a missing scientist in a coma, had his legs amputated and might even lose an arm. Danvers then tells Pete she wants to talk to Lund when he wakes up. Pete then shows Danvers the evidence room containing the contents from Clark's trailer to rather skeptical Danvers, who isn't happy the way the evidence room is presented. Danvers then asks Pete to hack Annie Kay's phone, and although Pete is skeptical about his abilities to do so, Danvers assures him he can do it. We then see some slight tension between Pete and Danvers, as it also appears his loyalty towards Danvers might be showing some cracks. It is then Pete then asks Danvers again about her past rift with Navarro and why they hate each other. Danvers then tells Pete her final case with Navarro involved a man named William Wheeler, a criminal with a violent past, who also assaulted his girlfriend and then killed her. Although Danvers tells Pete that Wheeler committed suicide, a flashback suggests that either herself and Navarro killed Wheeler when they arrived on the scene. However, it's never shown who fired the fatal shot. And also, Pete does not get his answer as to why Danvers and Navarro hate each other, as Danvers cleverly finds a way to escape the question. Going back to Navarro, we see Navarro back at the wilderness, where she's walking in the darkness after the hunters begin their search. She then reaches into her pocket to retrieve the orange. She throws the orange ahead of her only to see it roll back to her as she's not alone. We then see her gazing around using her flashlight before being called back to police headquarters. Navarro then joins Danvers back at the police headquarters, looking at the evidence files from what they found at Clark's trailer. They discuss the evidence and also briefly engage in some talk about their dysfunctional personal lives before being interrupted by Pete. With Navarro now signed to the case, Danvers and Navarro now question Susan, a friend of Annie Kay. She reveals that Annie Kay accompanied her to the cell, which was where she bonded with Clark. In, where they had a very passionate romance that they asked for the relationship to be kept secret. Susan herself also reveals she dated a member of the DeSalle Research Facility named Oliver, whose name is also not mentioned in the company records, and that he left DeSalle before Andy Kay's death. Danvers and Navarro also discover that Hank knew all about this, but it's also hidden from Hank without Danvers' knowledge. I now think it's safe to say that Hank is hiding something here. I mean, why would Hank hide this from Danvers and also Navarro? It's a major development in the storyline, and also I definitely do believe that Hank has something that he's hiding, but also we don't know what it is, and I tend to believe that right now Hank is probably involved with this case in some really weird way, but it's also very nefarious. Danvers and Navarro then drive back to find Hank, and on the ride back they engage in more talk about their lives, and for a while it's friendly. They then engage in a debate over their differences and philosophies, a difference that Danvers has as she appears to be a skeptic on the paranormal, while Navarro is also a believer. Think of this as Mulder and Scully from the X-Files. Navarro also believes a case with the research facility is also involved with Annie Kay and the mine, which is also a very controversial issue in the town of Enos. Danvers, of course, doesn't believe this, but it's also part of the intrigue into a very unique partnership, but the two of them have very clear differences on how to handle the case, and also what they believe personally. We then go back to Pete back at the ice rink. As Pete looks over the bodies, Hank arrives and begins to ask Pete for details about the investigation, as if Hank is concerned something he doesn't want to see come out is going to get revealed. Danvers and Navarro then confront Hank as they arrive back at the rink about his negligence about hiding information. Hank replies and making a comment about Danvers and her connection to Pete, and Danvers splashes his coffee in his face and tells him to call back his own makeshift search parties before she files a report. Pete then tells Danvers he has a cousin who's a vet who can come down and inspect the bodies to look for clues about their death. Danvers then agrees to have them inspected by the vet, given the resources for his case are rather limited. Navarro then goes to see Kwavik for information on Oliver and where he could be found, but Kwavik wants something in return, which is where Navarro was born. It turns out Navarro was born in Boston and then found herself back in Alaska. After getting his information about Oliver, Navarro leaves, and in a very eerie moment, she sees someone in a parka just like the one Annie Kay wore, and we see that someone appears to be a woman running away. Navarro attempts to pursue her, only to slip on the ice, and she finds herself at what appears to be in a war zone, likely in Afghanistan. It's a very brief scene, and the hand of a child touches Navarro's shoulder before she wakes up back in the Alaskan darkness. Going back to Kwavik, I think it's now clear he may know more about this case than he's letting on. Not that Kwavik, I think, is a bad guy, but like others in Enos, especially Hank, there appears to be more to Kwavik, and I'm not certain that Navarro can trust him. For Danvers, she gets into a conflict with Leia after Leia attends an anti-mining facility meeting, but this appears to be more about Danvers being concerned for Leia and her personal safety, as Danvers now wants to see Leia become the next Annie Kay. While this occurs, Navarro finds Julia in the outskirts of the city after Kali tells her she saw her screaming and running away, but it's also not known what caused Julia to run. We then see a scene in the episode where Pete comes back home to see his wife asleep. He accidentally wakes her up, and they have a talk about Pete's role as a cop, as it seems Pete's wife would rather see him in another occupation rather than a cop, as Pete's wife does not see him as a cop. She then mentions that he's under Danvers' control, something that Pete does not feel comfortable about. We then see Pete get a missed call and a text from Danvers, reminding him about his role with Danvers' case, as he doesn't seem too happy about it at the same time. Pete's cousin Vince arrives, who is also the vet to inspect the bodies. Vince tells Danvers and Pete the sick scientist died before freezing, scene, suggesting cardiac arrest or fear of something they saw. Danvers and Navarro then visit Oliver at a remote nomad camp. From the start, it's not very welcoming to outsiders. Danvers and Navarro then find a man who knows Oliver, and he tells him that he's around, but does not say exactly where he's at this camp. Danvers and Navarro then find Oliver, and they ask him about the cell, and they also tell him the scientists are dead, and he tells Oliver that Lund is also in the hospital, and that Clark is missing. For Oliver, this touches a nerve, as he's also very visibly upset about the news of Lund, who is also his close friend. But despite this revelation, Oliver refuses to cooperate and threatens him with a shotgun. Danvers and Navarro then leave with a hostile crowd from the camp looking on. They return to Enos, where they receive word that Lund has woken up. They go to Lund's hospital room, and where Lund is blind, and he screams in pain as he hears a voice in his head. He yells that they woke her, and that she hunted them in the dark, claiming that she is still out there. Danvers tries to get Lund to reveal what he's talking about, but it doesn't work out as a fight breaks out in hospital, and Danvers leaves to break up the fight in the hallway. Navarro saves Lund. Lund suddenly addresses Navarro despite his condition, claiming that her mother salutes her and that she's waiting for Navarro. It's a very surreal experience as it appears that Lund is possessed by a supernatural entity, and it's possible that only Navarro can see and understand what Lund is doing. After he addresses Navarro, he goes back to his catatonic-like state. After the fight is over, Danvers and Navarro find Pete waiting for them at a hotel lobby. Pete tells Danvers and Navarro that he unblocked Annie's cell phone, which contains a video recorded by a scared Annie on video, claiming to have found something in the cave. The video briefly shows the experience for suddenly she is grabbed by something and screams, and that's how the episode ends. So overall, this is a pretty good episode, showing more development in the storyline for season 4 True Detective Night Country. But also, I just don't know where this is going right now, because we know that Lund is now alive, but probably not going to last much longer in the hospital. Clark is still out there. Is he still alive? And also, what has Navarro seen with all these supernatural entities? Is it for real, or is it also her own imagination? That they're still up in the air, because we don't know right now just exactly what Navarro has seen with all these supernatural entities. It could be real, or maybe it's just all in her head, something more psychological. For Danvers, she lives in a rather isolated world. I mean, no one in town really likes her very much, including her own officers. She probably knows that, but also isn't fazed by it at the same time. And I think Pete right now is really skeptical of Danvers as well. I think for Danvers, Navarro right now is her own trusted ally as we get through this case together. But Danvers also lives in a rather isolated world, and also one is also really hostile at the same time. For Danvers, her and Navarro have very separate ideological differences. They have very clear differences in this case. But Navarro does believe the mining facility is also part of the mystery as well, and also probably connected to the Sal research facility, including the Annie K case and the case missing scientist. Navarro does believe that as a case, but Danvers doesn't believe that is the case as well. I do ask this though, is Navarro right? Is her theory correct on this? I'm starting to probably think it is, but also probably more as a play as well, because remember, Ennis is a really small town with a lot of secrets, and a lot of people trying to keep those secrets a secret. And I think Hank is one of them, and I think Kwavik as well is probably somebody we gotta keep a lookout as well, because in this episode, Kwavik really displays some really odd behavior towards Navarro, and I think Kwavik could be a person of interest as well. Or maybe that is just a town of Ennis, being a town filled with rather eccentric people who do hold some rather dark secrets and might play a role in the mystery that Danvers and Navarro are trying to solve. For Navarro, she has some rather crazy encounters in this episode, from seeing the orange that she threw get tossed back to her earlier in the episode from an unknown entity, and also seeing someone running in the darkness, which could have been Annie K, and that illusion about her back in Afghanistan. Was all this real? And also the ending, with Lund talking to Navarro about her mother waiting for her. Was that real as well, or also part of Navarro's greater imagination? Those are mysteries from this episode that definitely do need answers, because so far here's what we don't know. Is all this supernatural or psychological? Because remember this, the mining facility in Ennis is causing some rather bizarre issues with the environment, and maybe that's probably the cause of this also. Then maybe Navarro isn't just seeing ghosts, maybe it's all psychological. I think we'll eventually find out what this is, because Navarro really in this episode has some really amazing standout moments in terms of the mystery she's currently trying to solve, so possibly she probably does have supernatural abilities as she claims to have, or maybe it's also in her head at the same time, or maybe it's also a combination of the two. That there's something else to ask as well in terms of what Navarro is actually seeing in terms of all these encounters she had in this episode, and also in episodes 1 and 2. From the start of the season, in episode 1, and also from Navarro's own experiences, I definitely do believe there's also a supernatural element at play in this mystery. For another connection, I definitely do believe that the TaSalle Research Facility, the mining company, are also part of the mystery as well. They're probably connected some way that's probably playing a big role in this mystery. Remember what Danvers said to Leia, that those who protest the mining facility do meet their rather tragic end. So maybe there's also a greater force out there that's probably not in the town of Ennis that's probably part of this mystery as well. But also I definitely do believe that the supernatural element is also part of this as well. For Oliver, when Oliver met Danvers and Navarro, he was generally upset that Clark was gone and the missing scientists were also dead as well, and that Lons was in the hospital. But he also wasn't willing to say what he knew, and I think Oliver is also hiding something as well. For the three guys you saw in the series so far, Hank, Kwavik, and Oliver, these are three guys that definitely do believe know something, but are also not revealing what they know at the same time, that I definitely do believe they're hiding something that's also part of the mystery that probably holds clues for its answer. But also, who killed Annie Kay? Was it Clark? I still think that Clark is the main guy and the main suspect. But also definitely do believe there are others involved as well, and I think one of them most definitely is Hank. So what we learned in this episode is, there are several mysteries still at play. Danvers still doesn't tell Pete why her and Navarro fell apart, but I definitely do believe that Navarro and Danvers still like each other and still respect one another and also working quite well on this case. Because so far, they're all they have to solve this very complex case, and we have 3 episodes left to go. For now though, that is where I'll leave it. And that should do it for me this episode of Brasilled. Please do tell your friends and family about this podcast, and please rate this podcast on your Zard Podcast directory, as feedback is always appreciated. Please do check out this podcast over on Instagram at Brasilled Podcast over on Instagram. Please stay tuned for future recaps of True Detective Night Country, the final 3 episodes. Also, please stay tuned for future guest interviews, craft beer content, NFL coverage, and other topics of interest. Please enjoy some good beer, bourbon, whiskey on this winter season. I'm your host, Brandon. Thank you for joining me. And I'll see you next time. And until then, be brewed and be the Brasilled, folks. Cheers.